federal agencies, and the DMV, where hope goes to die. The Kate Daly Show starts now.
Hey, a friend asked me if I wanted to go fishing, you know, which is weird. You know, a guy would feel comfortable asking another guy to go fishing, but a guy would never feel comfortable asking another guy to do the same exact thing, but leave out the fishing part. Hey, Charlie, I was thinking this weekend I could swing by real early, pick you up, take you out to this lake I know about. It's beautiful out there. Could watch the sun come up. The way that glistens off the lake in the early morn. Something I wouldn't want you to miss. And I figured we could just spend the day sitting real close together on a boat. You up to doing something like that with me? Can we try to kill something?
Oh, I love it. Brian Regan. One of the funniest, cleanest comedians. Love that guy. Welcome to the Kate Daly Show. How are you doing? I hope good. This is going to be an incredible show. Alex Newman will join me in the next hour. Journalists were being detained at Bilderberg. Why? Why? They're just discussing the globalist agenda like they do every year. Why are journalists being detained and all kinds of stuff with Alex Newman? He's a great reporter. There's only so many, you know, that are worth their salt. By the way, the war between CNN and New York Times is kind of heating up, too, by the way. Yeah, New York Times banning reporters from CNN and NBC, MSNBC, I'm sorry. Yeah, it's going to get weird. I want to talk to Alex about that, too. In the last hour, I want to talk a little bit about global politics, but I want to bring in a story from 1967 where a gentleman kind of gives his testimony on this and tells a little bit about a whole nother side to that story in 1967, what happened. It'll explain a little bit about what's going on right now in the Middle East, too. And I'm always up for that as well. So, okay, to start off today's show, I saw this. Actually, Uncle Melty had sent this to me. And this, oh, by the way, I just wanted you to know, if you feel old, you're not old. The oldest woman in the world died in Indonesia. How old was she? Hat tip, Susan, thank you. 146 years old, right? See? You're a spring chicken if you're out there, if you're in your 80s, 90s, 70s, you're a spring chicken. Anyway, wow. I didn't even realize. Really? That old? Okay. All right. So I want to launch into this. 888-673-1450. 888-673-1450. There's a couple of things actually on my mind. There was an article about that Uncle Milty sent me over, and I found this to be really interesting because it was all about golf. And I played the Robin Williams clip yesterday. Otherwise, I would have played it today, introing into the show. The Robin Williams golf clip is just classic, describing golf. But golf is a big thing. Golf's a big thing to my husband. My husband absolutely eats, breathes, and sleeps golf. And so I get to hear about golf all the time. And so the city's golf course, St. George city officials, were discussing implementing several upgrades at the city-owned golf courses. And I want to know how you feel about this. Because what they were saying was that they needed to do some operation and maintenance over the four golf courses, totaling 72 holes. Red Hills Golf, Southgate Golf, Dixie on Dixie between Dixie Drive, Interstate 15, Santa Clara River, and so then you got St. George Golf, and you have Sunbrook Golf, and so these four. And the city was looking to upgrade equipment on all four courses and then perform this major upgrade to the clubhouses. St. George Golf and Southgate, which were built decades ago. So I'm looking at this and I'm thinking upgrade, because it says basically that they need to bring the courses into the 21st century. And so St. George Support Services Director Mark Mortensen was quoted as saying, "We should be able to pull both these clubhouses into the 21st century with more modern amenities." I'm going to go out on a limb, and I'm gonna actually question why in the world the city has golf courses. I know, right? I know. We've pondered the question of why they are in the business of recreational facilities and then also swimming pools. Why golf courses? And the total cost, they said, of the facility improvements was a proposed budget at $630,000. This on the heels of spending a lot of money to aid, you know, the flights coming in and out of St. George when the airport's operational. And then... another $630,000 that they're going to put in front of approval from the city council in the next coming weeks. And the golf course division is asking for $389,000 worth of new equipment with a focus on maintenance. And so they said, you know, we've been doing a really good job of making things last, but they wear out. And so we need this money. And you know, golf is making a comeback. So we've got to do this. I just have to throw this in the mix, because what's kind of interesting at this is if you actually go to look up, do city golf courses make any money? The generic answer is no, because they're not motivated by profit. They're not motivated by profit. What are they motivated by? I'm curious, because I'm not getting something here, but usually when city funds, which is our taxpayer dollars, when our taxpayer dollars are used for things like this, usually they don't make a profit. Hence, probably every government entity that's ever owned anything never really makes a profit. So because people love the sport, should the city then engage in propping up the sport by delivering a low-cost method of golfing to the people of the community? Four different courses. This isn't just even one course, four different courses in one city. Should we be doing this? And there was an article about a year ago, and it is actually in Golf Advisor. And I want you to hear what they say about many, many municipalities owning golf courses. They said they're going downhill. They said they're not owning them anymore because people are coming in, private people, entrepreneurs are coming in and wanting the prime pieces of property. And so it said many municipalities are willing to operate courses at a loss to maintain green space and provide affordable golf as a community service. But too many... I know. I'm laughing too, because I'm going, okay, my husband's going to kill me for saying, do we have to provide golf as a community service? Is that the job of local government? So it said, but too many are stuck with aging infrastructure and staggering losses to their bottom line, because this is a thing, and it's been a thing for eons. They run and they have to have city funds aid and abet the golf course. They can't do it on their own. So they said the red ink becomes the bullseye for city officials and non-golfing residents. And at some point, the death spiral becomes a point of no return. So they said it's growing, but they're in trouble. Why? Because they don't know how to manage the golf courses to a profit like a small business would. And so... I was laughing when I read this, because I thought, are they aware? They aware of this? The city councils, this is what Golf Advisor says, the city councils and county boards across the country are wrangling with that same old question. Aha! Should tax dollars be supplementing golf? I love that they're asking this. Yeah, I'm asking the same darn thing, too. The numbers recently released, do not support in any way the fact that they should be doing this, even on the money side of this. But do they have the authority to do that with your tax dollars? You know, before they started all the golf courses, did you think your tax dollars were going to go towards that? I probably have a lot of longtime listeners that have lived here for eons, right? For a long time, for decades and decades and decades. Did you know, or did you think that we would venture into as many golf courses as we have? Did you think that you would be paying for these even if you were never golfing? I mean, I don't golf. So I'm paying for this. I don't golf. And so I'm wondering, they've lost over $100 million state municipal golf courses. Just the state ones alone, not even the city ones. $100 million in the last 5 years. And so a majority of communities are looking to scale back on their investments in golf. So there's the question of, gee, did the investment pay off? Should we, you know, and then there's the question of, do we have the authority to do this and should we be doing this? I know people like the things that we do. I know that people, if they're using the trails, they want the trails. If they're using pickleball, they want pickleball. If they, whatever people patron, whatever people go to, they want the city to support it, the arts. And I'm sorry, there is no role of government to do that. And boy, do I sound like a libertarian, don't I? I should. We all should, actually. I think if we were really looking at this based on principle and based on authority, all of us would be simply abhorred at all of the things that local governments and counties seek to pay for. When they said, you know, community assisted, you know, to give the community this great community service that you pay for, by the way. You pay for twice, kind of like going to the national parks. You get to pay for it twice. You pay for it in taxes, and then you pay for it when you go. So, is it a community service? Is that how we classify these things? When do we stop? I mean, when do we get to a point? When do we stop? Because all I ever hear every single year is that we need a big addition of taxes. We're talking a major amount of money here. Under $1 million, but still, that's a lot of money of our tax dollars. If we have that kind of money to spend on golf, why aren't we getting it back so that we can decide what we want to spend it on? That way a private company comes in, they take over the golf courses, they run them at a profit, and then I can choose to go there and spend my money there. Isn't that how it's supposed to work? Or am I delusional? I mean, if you golf, then you go and you pay for it. If you don't golf, then you don't go. But the taxes should be spent the way you think the taxes, your own taxes, should be coming back towards you so that you can use them at your own discretion. We never get a check back. We have an awful lot of money to toss around, and we don't get money back, ever. And that's, I think, you know, this is just another symptom of a very, very big problem when we get to the part where we say, do we have the eyes to see this? Are we going to, because we might benefit, you know, my husband, like I said, will kill me for saying this. He benefits, right? So he benefits. That's great. What about you? Do you golf? Are you benefiting from the community service that they are investing for you? And it isn't even about consent of the people. This is truly about government competing with small business to deliver something that they think is the common good. And I'm not quite sure golf is the common good. Really, even arts are not the common good. And I know a lot of you would get really mad at me saying that. But think about it for just a moment. Are the arts really a common good? Or are they something that you can go and pay for and enjoy if you choose to? Maybe more like a private business. I'm just going to go out on a limb and say that. I'll be right back. And I'm going to take your calls on this right when we come back. And you might want to wrestle me to the floor for even saying this about the holy grail of golf. That's okay. I'll be right back.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
I got the shorts and all the plaid sweaters. That new tailor-made driver didn't make me any better. Man, I hit 'em fat and I hit 'em thin. I roll 'em in the bunkers, man, I hit 'em again. Slice 'em in the bushes, crank 'em in the creek. I pop that sucker up and hooked it out in the street. Yeah, I'm 245.
Right down. Welcome back. It's Toby Keith. I love it. I couldn't play the whole song, absolutely, if you know the title of that one. But I took a stab at it. Anyway, welcome back to the show, and glad that you're listening in. Make sure you get over to ABC, Auto Body Central. They really are the ones that really fix up the body of your car. If paint job or you're getting a wreck, you can actually choose your provider. Get over to them. They do everything, bumpers and scratches. And sometimes it's an easy little fix, and you might not realize it. And they're honest enough to give you their honest take on what they can do, and they'll let you know whether they can do it, which is what I love about them. Give them a call. It's 817-0949. They're over in Washington, Auto Body Central, ABC. Just think St. George Auto Body. And when you get in an accident, which, you know, there's been a lot of accidents lately, make sure you call them, because like I said, you can choose your provider. There's no reason why you shouldn't. They are fantastic, family run, just absolutely a great company to work with. I've been so impressed with them. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Hi, Kate.
Hi there.
Hey, let me turn this off. Sorry.
Uh-huh. Sure.
Hey, this is a subject that golf thing is that is very near and not so dear to my heart.
Ouch.
having been a city councilman up here in Cedar Hills in Utah County,
sure.
This issue of golf courses has destroyed the goodwill in our community.
Ooh, how come?
Well, back in 2002, the mayor, who was an avid golfer, said, hey, let's buy this golf course off of this new development that's coming in. We could make money. And we're saying, why take the liability? Let them do it. It's the green space. Let them do it. They own it. They can lose money. They can make money, whatever. Oh, no, we could make $400,000 in profit a year.
Oh,
all the projections said it would lose money, and sure enough, it's losing $580,000 a year, so that's a $1 million swing.
Whoa!
And we needed to ask for more money now because we now need to build some parks, and we don't have the money because we're losing so much money on our golf course.
You know what? You just delivered a great point. And, you know, I hate to theorize, but usually when people are upgrading their business to do kind of a renew grand opening, usually it's because it's not doing well. So they pump a lot more money into it, re-energize it, make it look different, attract the customer to get the customer in the door. Is that what we might be doing here with $630,000 to start?
Well, Kate, see, this is what I'm telling you, is that very thing that they're talking about rebuilding and doing something, you know, the new,
gamble.
The better, we've got to bring more money in, we've got to bring more golfers in, it's a revolving argument.
Yep.
Because like in our community, we actually had saved up $2.9 million in, impact fees for all the new people that were moving in.
Right.
To build a swimming pool and a rec center. Now, that wasn't, you know, that's questionable whether that should have been done, but that's what the money was collected for. They changed their mind and decided to build a golf clubhouse instead. So we lost $2.9 million by getting a clubhouse instead of a rec center. And then we didn't have any money for a park, and we're losing $580,000 a year. And guess who is constantly lying about the issue? Everybody that's in power that's been in power since the thing started.
Ouch. Oh, you know.
It drives you crazy.
It does. It does.
Hey, anyway. Can I shift gears? I had a quick question about your show.
Sure.
Love the guy who does those little announcements.
Yes,
You know, about socialism or, you know, telling the truth or whatever.
He's a KSL guy. Yeah, he's a KSL guy. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm just curious. If you've ever talked about it, I've never heard it. I'm just curious who he is and does he just do it for your show?
No. He does the voice for KSL. He does the voice for so many different shows, and I'm lucky to have him because he's just so fun and phenomenal. But yeah, he's nice enough to voice this, and I love the liners going into the show. They're fun. And
Are those yours? Did you write them, or did he write them?
I wrote a lot of them. I found some of them. I found a good portion of them. It just kind of depends on... I have a lot in the Wayback Machine, so I've got a ton of them up. But yeah, a lot of them come by way of a meme, or I'll get an idea from a meme, things like that. Yeah.
So they're not used anyplace else, just on your show.
Yeah, I use them on my show, and then and it's kind of fun. People will send them to me too.
They are awesome.
Well,
and you've got a great show. Keep up the good work. We love having you on our radio.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate that. Thanks so much. That's so sweet. The other reason I brought up the golf thing, and it really is, I mean, I am so glad that he called in, because this is just such a... let me put it this way. The community service that they're providing is coming at quite a cost. Are you okay with that? And really, it's not even if you're okay with that, because some of you are going to be and some of you aren't. It's really goes back to the authority issue. Do the city governments have the authority to spend the money on what they deem a community service? Golf is not a community service. Golf is a recreational activity. I mean, let's just please call it what it is. It's a recreational activity. Man, I'm not going to be able to go home tonight after today's show. but it is. And I think that we better start addressing it as such and really looking at this through the eyes of a citizen looking at their government and saying, what are you doing? Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Well, the other thing is this morning I had gone to the post office on the way home at about 4 o'clock in the morning. Mm-hmm. I saw this beautiful van in front of the fountain. mm-hmm. over by the water park.
Okay.
And the van has full of those scooters.
Ah. Mm-hmm.
So we bought that brand new van, and we're paying those people to go pick them up and put them down, and they do it at 4 o'clock in the morning, so we don't see it.
Hmm. Interesting. Interesting.
So my wife and I were discussing, is this getting to be more like a communist country? Because everything is owned by the government.
Yeah.
The movie studios, the theaters, you know, and stuff
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, everywhere you look, the city has control.
I hear you.
Said the Pike.
Mm-hmm. Mayor Pike.
The one that everybody was pushing is going to settle everything off. Mm-hmm. Get rid of the good old boy network. Holy smokes, it's worse than it was before.
Well, I can't argue with you. Thank you. I love the phone call because you're pointing out something great, too, and that is what else? What else is a community service? Because the government's starting to own everything. Scooters and golf and then, you know, the tracks for, you know, taking your bike out on those tracks. And then also you've got swimming pools that they shouldn't be in the business of owning. You've got, should they be in the business of owning rec centers and competing with the other rec centers that are privately owned? No. It's a good old Yellow Pages test. I remember talking about this 8 years ago, and we've been talking about it ever since. The other thing is this. About a decade ago, St. George partnered with five counties, and they delivered a program. And the program was the mortgage program. Here's $10,000 down so that you can buy a house program if you are disadvantaged. And I found that very compelling because this is happening in cities all across the United States, right? And so the wording was St. George partnered with five counties, although five counties in their report, because I looked, five counties says, well, you know, we can't give down payment money necessarily. And so partnering means that five counties, St. George says five counties does the paperwork, right? Well, if St. George did the paperwork, then they become a mortgage company, right? In a sense, they're doing all of it. They become the mortgage company and then they oversee that. So they have five counties oversee it. And, you know, I was looking in the report. They had a report issued 2015 to 2020. And the goals and objectives. And it was talking about the fact that they said 47% of renters here in this county, in these counties down here in southern Utah, could not even afford, almost half of all renters could not afford a two-bedroom place. And I thought, is that true? Do you think that's true? And that's why the need for all the housing, and that's why the need for, and they even said in 2015, we helped 34 homeless people, but 47% of you can't even afford a two bedroom apartment on your salaries together or apart or whatever. But 40%, 47% of renters. And so we need to have these kinds of funds to help people. We need to have these kinds of funds available, your funds, your tax dollar funds. We need to give $10,000 here and $10,000 here and $10,000 here to give away in a grant to the people going into the home. And they have to stay in the home for about 10 years or some stipulations. But I found that to be quite concerning that they're always doing the projected growth. And I get why they do the projected growth. But they basically came out in that study, just so you know, and they said in 2015, they said we would have 276,000 people here. And that was from some pretty good projections. That's what it was going to be. And in the five counties here in Utah. And as of just December, and here we are rolling into 2020, the end of what was going to be their projection, we have 243,000. We didn't quite hit their projection. And that happens every single time. So that happens a lot. And so they were basing everything on a 2014 estimated homelessness report in order to push all of this. And they had started this, 2010, and then actually came out with more articles that said it started in 2012, this $10,000 grant program people could apply for, and you had to be under a certain income for a family of four in order to do it, but they could get you into a house because they really wanted to help people get into a house. Is that government's role? Is the government's role to get you into a house? Why would it be? So for the bleeding hearts, and I get it, and I'm not trying to patronize you. I'm just saying that for those that say everyone deserves a right to be in a home, no, they don't. You're entitled to nothing. You are entitled to nothing. And as my friend that voices the show, the voice of Utah, this is what he has to say about that.
The Kate Daly Show's daily reminder, you're entitled to nothing. The show starts.
And it's true. You're entitled to nothing. If you want to be in a home, work your rear end off and get in a home. If you want to golf, make the money and go golf. It's an expensive sport. If you want to go and see a play, go pay for the play. This is such an easy thing. And I know it's so hard sometimes because it's really hard when it gets into the venue of what you're crazy about, what you love. I'll never forget the rap tax and the pickleball courts. And everybody wanted pickleball courts. And I'm going, but not everybody plays pickleball. That should be something that a private entrepreneur does. When I was in high school, a friend of mine, he did gumball machines. And soon he was driving a Corvette. He was a junior going into a senior year in high school. And you know what he did? He went and bought jeans, Levi's, from the DIs, you know, the local Salvation Armies. And he sold them to Japan. And the guy made a killing. Each pair that he scooped up for $5-$10... he actually sold for about $150 to $300 a pair over there. You know why? Because he was a true entrepreneur, started that way in high school and developed his skills and talents. And no matter what he touched, it was the Midas touch. And he just made stuff happen. He saw a need. He went in and made it happen. You know what? That's who we are in America. That's the American dream. The American dream is not what your government can do for you and what the government can provide. It's about what we can provide for ourselves. Be right back on The Kate Daly Show.
Dixie Power is building communities and delivering...
Oh. I'm going to sing a song for you on the piano.
I love it. Tina, tell us a little bit about Cody.
Cody is blind and autistic.
Oh. Wow.
We found out that he loved music really early on. He listened and his eyes just went huge. And he started singing. And that's when I was in tears because that's when I realized, oh my gosh, he's an entertainer. So...
Yeah.
Through music and performing, he was able to withstand living in this world. Because when you're autistic, it's really hard to do what everybody else does. It actually has saved his life, playing music.
Wow.
Aww.
Oh, that's awesome.
Well, we'd love to hear you. Go for it.
You ready?
I'm ready.
Go on, Cody.
Go, Cody!
Go, Cody!
Go, Cody!
This is your time, okay? There's gonna be like 20 film cameras on you. Ready?
Yeah!
Go! Boom!
Some bad rhymes. I've acted on my life in stages. 10,000 people watching, yeah. We're alone now, and I'm singing this song to you. I love you in a place. Oh, there's no space or time. I'm singing this song to you.
Wow, right? Blind, autistic, yeah. Pretty amazing. He got the golden ticket. And what was more, it was so interesting to watch him because he had a hard time interacting, but put him behind a microphone and listen to that. And I actually wish I would have played that yesterday when I was talking about that show that was employing and trying to figure out how to employ people just like him and trying to figure out their strengths. And I thought that was it was just remarkable that there is a show called The Employables on A&E Network that's doing that. And it reminded me of him. And so I thought I would play that for you. I was so touched by it. I just thought it was amazing. Welcome back to the show. Make sure you get over to Defending Utah because, well, they're fantastic. We'll have, he was unable to come on today. We'll have him next week. And we'll be talking about, there's a new article that he just put out on Defending Utah, Ben did, and it's all about primary children's working within the state to do what they're doing and to annihilate due process and the Bill of Rights. And you'll want to know what's going on. Make sure you get over to defendingutah.org, subscribe, buy their DVDs, make sure that you are becoming that effective citizen and giving them to people that you know probably would like to become an effective citizen but don't know where to start. Well, you know where to go, and that would be defendingutah.org. They do a tremendous job, so hats off to them. But they've got some fantastic articles up right now that really explain things, and you're going to want to know in case you're ever in the same position that he was himself in dealing with CPS. Going back to what government is supposed to pay for versus what government is supposed to actually do, I want to pick up this conversation again because we were talking about golf courses earlier. Golf courses all around the country are failing. They're actually going by the wayside because the property is prime property that entrepreneurs are coming and wanting to pick up. The government should never be competing. And I know this is a theme of the show a lot, and I get that. I think for me, hold on, caller. I think for me, it was difficult to see this. When I first started radio, it was hard to see the concept of what government was supposed to do and what they weren't supposed to do. And I know there's a lot of Democrats out there. There's a lot of Democrats out there that have a really tough time, but much harder time separating what government is supposed to do, because their whole argument is they take our money, so I want them to spend it on things that are fun and things that are worthy and things that are good. And they don't question the taking of the money. They only say, well, if they're going to take the money anyway, I want it spent on numerous things to aid and abet the populace. But somebody that knows the Constitution would say, but they don't have the authority to take it in the first place for the common good to the tune that they are taking it. Caller, go right ahead. I want to hear what you have to say.
Well, that's an excellent lead into what I wanted to say. Mm-hmm. We are in the battle. It's an old battle that's gone on for millenniums, and that's between two political systems, collectivism and individualism. Yeah. Our country is founded on the principle of individualism. The only role of government is to protect our individual rights. What we're describing here is a great example of collectivism, mm-hmm. of tribalism. It's the most primitive form of government in history, where you say in the name of the common good or in the name of the greater number and so forth that we're going to do this. Of course, there's always somebody that's not going to benefit.
Right.
Probably most people aren't playing golf at those courses, but their money is being taken from them. The only role of government we need to remember is to protect our individual rights.
Mm-hmm.
That's it, life, liberty, property, et cetera. So and in principle, you've brought up principle often, the principle that they can own and regulate any business, they can own and regulate every business.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that caller mentioned communism. That's communism. So in principle, there is no limit. They can own your veterinary hospital because you need care for your animals. You can own your grocery stores, your mm-hmm. barber shops, everything. Mm-hmm. In principle, go along with this.
Right.
And this, but what's really important here is a statement of common good or greater number. They have absolutely no right to be taking anybody's money for any group. There's always one person that's going to want to use that money for something else.
Yeah.
That tax money is being taken from them. Maybe they want to put braces on their kids, but they can't afford it. Or maybe they want to go to school and improve their education. Or maybe they want to take a trip that they can't take. Or maybe move out of an apartment into a home, but they can't take it because your government has taken that money and given it to somebody to subsidize their game on weekends.
I agree. Yeah, I agree. And they're abusing the word community, a service to the community, because basically what that actually means is voluntary work intended to help people in a particular area, not the government taking money from you to afford a golf course.
Yeah, this is what Betty Bassio talked about. You're taking from some to give to others.
Mm-hmm.
They have no right to do that. The only right role of government should be protecting our individual rights.
Yeah.
So it's individualism versus collectivism. And individualism is a system of a free society your country was founded upon. And what this city is practicing is the system of Karl Marx.
Yeah.
This is collectivism.
Thank you.
Got to denounce it. Anytime we hear the word common good, greater good for the greater numbers, we need to stop it right there. Nip it in the bud. That's collectivism.
I agree.
And see it as such. And so the solution is for Americans to embrace individualism again, and the proper role of government is solely to protect our individual rights.
Thank you for that. Yeah, you're right on the money, of course, on that. Absolutely. And to disguise it as a service for the community. Yeah, that's not the definition. So, you know, and now I have to say, if we want to be strict on principle, then you also have to say no to this. And I know this will tug at the heartstrings of many even listening, but it's the same thing. And let me tell you why. Utah Attorney General is calling for student loan forgiveness for permanently disabled veterans. Now, I understand the reasons and intention on why somebody would want to help those that were caught up in the situation of being in the military, went out, and are coming back disabled. I get it. You get it. We all have members of the military in our family. I'm going to venture to guess. I do. And so I understand why people would feel strongly about this. And then they would say to themselves, on the heels of the conversation we just had, but it's okay for government to do that. Well, it's still not okay. And I hate to say that because I know that there's going to be people out there that go, but in this case, our tax dollars cannot be used in that way either. The best case scenario for a situation like this would be for the people to rally and raise the money through a GoFundMe or whatever the case may be, however you wanted to do it, and actually deliver that money to somebody so they could pay off their loan. That's where we exercise our individual rights, right? It makes sense. But that's harder and takes longer. And it's easier to do a clean sweep of the brush and say, oh, well, you know, let's just forgive this. And then from there, we're going to forgive this sector of the population. And then from there, we're going to give to this sector of the population. What about this population over here that's bullied? And should they actually have to repay their loans? And what about this section over here? That's what starts to happen when we allow government to do what they're not allowed to do. We're not even supposed to have a Department of Education in this country. We were never supposed to have it. So the fact that now we're asking there's a certain group that needs the money. Yeah, they might be in need. But that's where the citizens have to take it in their own hands and say, stop asking the government to do it. I think it's made it so easy for us because we get to do less. Honestly, quite honestly, we do less. And the government always is doing more because we kind of unknowingly or unwittingly sometimes support actions like this because we don't stand up for them or against them. And they go ahead and they do things like this that are out of the privy of the government authority. And even in city government, like I just pointed out, they shouldn't own a swimming pool. They shouldn't own a golf course. They shouldn't own a racetrack. They shouldn't own pickleballs. They shouldn't pickleball courts. They shouldn't be buying up facilities so the arts can be performed there. That has to be done at a grassroots level for us to enjoy individual rights. Even in the face of something that I feel very badly about in people getting injured and coming back disabled and what they're up against, you still have to stand on principle and say, it's not okay to do that. It is not okay to do that. That is for the people to do. And I've had to learn that lesson myself, and it took a long time. It took a long time for me to see. And so if you know a lot of people that still see things through the lens of, but the government's going to do it, and that means that's a good thing. They're taking the money anyway. Then we just need to educate those people. We need to school them on what exactly the authority of the government is. I feel very strongly about that. And I'll tell you, it's a tough one, but we've got to stick with that. We really do. A couple things to note. Sky High Piles, now I can say it, of trash in downtown Los Angeles, typhoid making a comeback. Typhoid is not making a comeback because of the unvaxxed. It's making a comeback because of sanitation, which, by the way, sanitation is the reason that a lot of things spread, not the vaxxed or unvaxxed. I just had to throw that out there. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Okay. How you doing today?
Good, good. How are you? Go right ahead.
Good. Yeah, I just, listening to your part about the golf courses and the swimming pools and all that, I live here in Washington City, and I know for years, especially back when the economy was slumping and all that, the recreational center and the golf course, they had to pull funds out of the general fund.
Right.
Millions of dollars just to fund, just to keep them active and running.
Yeah, they don't talk about that
a lot. They're not making a profit. The rec center has never made a profit ever in its existence, its entire existence. And I don't think the golf course has ever created.
Right.
Like you said, it's the golf course is 1%, probably less than 1% of the population even uses the golf course.
I mean,
people that travel here, vacationers,
people like that
may use it, but the taxpayers are funding the whole thing, and it's just totally not right.
It's ridiculous.
Nothing about it's right.
We're up against the clock, but I so appreciate your call.
Sorry. Thanks,
and you're
Kate.
Right, and you're right. Thank you. I love the phone call. Absolutely right. Very true. Also, I just wanted to mention on the heels of all the trash piling high in L.A., it really is getting a lot grosser. I was just down there. People are living in trees to escape it. Well, there's a new one. They're setting up shop in trees, making tree houses by the dozens. So that ought to get real interesting as we keep visiting L.A. Also, the Nevada Democrat governor dealt a blow to the national popular vote with a veto down there. Interesting. We'll have to talk about that more on Monday. I had a debate on St. George News about abortion, and so we'll see how that clip comes out on camera. That should be surfacing soon. Anyway, I thought I'd let you know. I'll probably talk about that a little bit more Monday. And we'll get over to Alex Newman's coming on the show. We're going to have a lot to talk about. And then I want to talk about the USS Liberty. Very interesting conversation there. So be right back on the Kate Daly Show.
Mice.